Chapter 2a, The Yoga of Analytic Knowledge, On the Knowledge of the Soul. Sanjaya said, "And to him who was thus overwhelmed by compassion, having his eyes full of tears and lamenting, Madhusudana spoke the following words. The Supreme Lord said, Wherefrom came this impurity of lamentation at this hour of crisis, this practice of the uncivilized, that does not lead to a better world, is the cause of infamy, O Arjuna. Do not take to this impotence, O son of Pritha. This pettiness and weakness of the heart does not befit you. Give it up and stand up, O chastiser of the enemy." Arjuna said, "How can I counterattack Bhishma and Drona with arrows in the fight, O Madhusudana? They are worthy of worship, O killer of the enemies. Even begging in this life on the planet is certainly better than to kill those superior great souls, even though those teachers desire worldly gain. Surely our enjoying the pleasures of life will be tainted with blood. Nor do we know which would be better for us, that we may conquer them or they may conquer us. Certainly of those who do so by killing, we would never want to live, all of us, as we are positioned in front of the sons of Dhritarashtra. Being afflicted by the characteristics of miserliness and weakness, I ask you, confused in the heart about my duty, what would be all good? Please tell me that in confidence. Instruct me, as I am surrendered to you as your disciple. I do not clearly see what would dispel the sadness, drying up my senses in achieving unrivaled prosperity of a kingdom on earth, or even the supremacy of the godly." Sanjaya said, "Thus addressing Rishikesha, Gudakesha, the chastiser of the enemies, said, I shall not fight." After saying this to Govinda, he then fell silent. O descendant of Bharata, there between the armies of both parties, Rishikesha spoke smiling to the lamenting one the following words. The Supreme Lord said, "You are lamenting about what is not worth the lamenting, and you speak learned words as well. Whether lives are lost or not, the wise never lament. I never really did not exist whenever, nor did you, nor any of all these kings. Never shall also surely all of us not exist hereafter. Of being embodied, one knows the physical of boyhood, youth and old age. Similarly, thus attaining to the beyond of the body never delude the sober ones. It is only sense perception, O son of Kunti. Like summer and winter, happiness and pain given appear and disappear. None of them are permanent. Just try to tolerate it, O descendant of the Bharata dynasty. The person who is then never upset by all of this, O best among men, and is equal to and steady in distress and happiness, is considered fit for liberation. Never is there a falsehood, any durability, nor can one expect of the eternal any cessation. Thus stressed the seers who concluded to the study of both. Know that that by which the whole body is pervaded is imperishable, and that no one is able to destroy it. All these material bodies are perishable, while of the embodied soul it is said that it is never destroyed and immeasurable. Therefore, fight, O descendant of Bharata. Anyone who supposes that this soul is the killer, and also anyone who thinks that it can be killed, will of either of both positions never be in knowledge. Never does it kill, or can it be killed. It is never born, nor does it ever die. Never it came into existence, nor will it cease to be. It will not take rebirth. It is unborn, eternal and permanent. It is the oldest, and is never killed when the body is killed. One who knows that this is the indestructible, always existing, which is unborn and immutable, how can that person, O Partha, be the cause of killing or be killed? just like giving up worn-out garments and accepting new ones, does the embodied the same way give up old bodies and verily accept different new ones? Never can this soul be cut to pieces, be burned by fire, nor can it drown in water or wither in the wind. This unbreakable soul that cannot be burned, dissolve in water or dry up, is surely everlasting, all-pervading, unchangeable, unmovable, and primordial. As one speaks like this of it, as being invisible, inconceivable and stable, you should know very well that this soul never deserves lamentation. If, however, you think of it as always taking birth or finding death, still, O mighty armed one, it never deserves lamentation. Death is a certain fact for the one who is born, and also is birth certain for the ones who died. They are matters unavoidable that therefore do not deserve your lamentation. In the beginning, all are unmanifest. They are manifest in the middle, and in the end, O descendant of Bharata, they are all gone. Therefore, why complain when it is all like that? Some see it as amazing, some speak of it as amazing, and others surely come to know about it as being amazing, while still others, even having heard about this soul, certainly never come to understand it. This soul, the eternal owner of the body of everyone, cannot be killed, and therefore, O descendant of Bharata, you should not grieve for any living being. Also, indeed, in considering your own duties, you should not hesitate to fight for the sake of the religion. As for a ruler, truly, there is no better engagement than that. O son of Prita, happy are the rulers who do achieve to the war that came on its own accord, as to them the gates of heaven are opened wide. Therefore, you should do this fighting as a religious duty. Not acting according to your own nature, you will lose your reputation and fall in sin. About your infamy, people will always be speaking. As for a respectable man, infamy is worse than death. Seizing, out of fear leaving the battlefield, the great generals, who are also holding you in great estimation, will consider you as someone lower in value. Many of your enemies will speak unkind words of you, deriding your ability. What, of course, is there more painful than that? Either, being killed, you will attain the heavenly kingdom, or, conquering, you will enjoy the world. Therefore, get up, O son of Kunti, and fight with the certainty of determination. Equanimous, in happiness and distress, gain and loss, victory and defeat, thereafter engaging, for the sake of fighting, this way you will never incur any sin.